And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the hottest podcast in town. Get ready to set the airwaves on fire as we dive deep into the world of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is RBLR Bucks. Well, we're burning up the charts as your Buccaneers stand tall at 3-1 right now, heading into the bye week. That's right, folks. We just scorched our division rival, the New Orleans Saints, with a sizzling victory that left them seeing red. Well, Buccaneers Nation, it's time to take a breather, though, all right? You know, we got this bye week ahead of us, so make the most of it, all right? Spend some time with your family, kick back and relax, and enjoy the sizzle of victory while it's still hot. Because when we return for the second half, or basically two-thirds of the rest of the season, it's going to be an all-out inferno on the field. You feel me? So that being said, keep those pirate flags flying high, Buccaneers faithful, and stay tuned to us as we set those airwaves ablaze with the latest news, insights, and those scorching hot takes on your favorite team, of course. There is absolutely no excuse for you not to be fired up and passionate for our Buccaneers this season so far. And speaking of all this fire, I hope you have your fire extinguishers ready, because we have an explosive show lined up for you today. But before we dive into the playbook, I've got to introduce you to the man. Just like the rest of us here at RBLR, the man ignites this podcast every single week, repping that creamsicle orange Derrick Brooks jersey. The man is the sultan of stats. The man is a flame of football knowledge. The man is the one and only Carter Brantley. Carter, the mic is yours. How we doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. You know, living lavish. How about yourself, Musab? How you doing?
So far, so good. Obviously, you know, we're heading into the bye week, so a little kind of a bummer just because it's only week five. But hey,
right.
You know, we're standing as of right now 3-1, so that makes me happy, because I don't think a lot of us would be thinking this is how it's going to be coming into that bye week.
Yeah, not at all. I don't think many people had the Bucs at 3-1 at the top of the NFC South going into this week five bye week, but here we stand, and that's how it be. You know, it's fantastic. It's been a wonderful start to the year, and we'll get all into it. And like you mentioned, the Bucs just took care of business against the Saints in the Superdome this past Sunday. I had the privilege of being at the game as a fan. I was just sitting in the stands. Me and my mom got to go, and it was a blast. That was a really fantastic atmosphere to watch the Bucs kick some butt. You know, I mean, it was a really – I don't want to say fun game, because like it was kind of boring, you know, like, and I hate to say that about a Bucs victory, but it's also a good thing, because, you know, it means that nothing exciting happened in regards to the Bucs making some really crazy, stupid mistakes. Didn't come down to the wire. The Bucs just kind of coasted to victory, and the Saints looked pretty bad. So all in all, very good. But, you know, as a football fan, like someone who wanted to watch a good game, yeah, I was a bit disappointed. You know, it was kind of a bummer of a game. But anyways, they obviously took.
Well, you had any Saints fans harassing you?
Oh no!
Were you repping the Bucs or
neutral? I wore a Pelican shirt. Yeah, just because I wasn't trying to get into any.
You're repping Zion Williamson instead of Zion McCollum. Is that what it was?
No, definitely not Zion Williamson. I'm not trying to rip him. It was just a generic Pelican shirt, just because I figured, you know, just easy breezy beautiful cover girl. I'm not trying to get into any weird shenanigans. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely a blast. It was really fun. The food in New Orleans is obviously unmatched. But yeah, it was a great atmosphere for sure. But getting back to the game, the Bucs hit both overs. We did that little fun little thing about the rushing yards thing. If they were going to hit 2.5 yards per carry and 75 rushing yards, they went over both of that. So I know Zach's not here, so it's kind of a bit of a question that maybe you might not be able to answer as well as Zach, because Zach seemed a little more done with Rachaad White. But are you a little bit more inclined to be excited about him after a relatively decent performance, or you're still expecting more from Mr. White?
I'm still expecting more. I mean, again, it was a mediocre performance. I guess there was some kind of nice things to see, you know, just from the running game. He did pretty darn well as well with the passing game. You know, he got that one nice run right before the end zone. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of just a little indifferent at the moment. For me, I'm just thinking, I guess it's kind of a step forward a little bit. But, you know, the thing is, although we couldn't establish much of a run game, we did kind of keep the clock moving with those kind of short throws, and Baker's did look good. So that was something, you know, nice to know, is at least we weren't completely just depending on our running game to succeed. But overall, I mean, even Keyshawn Vaughn didn't see anything either. So I don't know. I want to still kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know. What's important now to see is, you know, how we do after this bye week, just because it's been a weird, I guess, couple games. You know, Bears and Vikings are just, they're crap. And then the Eagles are Super Bowl contenders. And then the Saints were our rivals. But honestly, I was expecting more from them on the defensive end. Didn't really see much. I want to give a shout out to people like Luke Kadecki and the rest of the O-line as well for kind of doing a good job. But that's really about it, though. I feel like Eagles was our really kind of only dominant matchup we had with the run game. They absolutely embarrassed us, and that's what kind of still makes me a little bit worried. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely still not a strength. You know, you're not going to hear about the Bucs running for 150, 200 yards anytime soon, that's for sure. But at the same time, like you mentioned, it's a step forward. It shows that they can at least, you know, they don't have to completely abandon that phase of the game, which I think is really encouraging, because, you know, it last year it would just get to a point where, all right, we clearly can't get anything going on the ground. You know, Tom Brady just aired out, and Baker Mayfield, unfortunately, is not built like that. This offense is not built like that. There are very few offenses that are built like that. It's pretty much Patrick Mahomes, and that's it. There's no offense in the NFL that's going to thrive or survive or be successful that just, you know, cannot run the ball whatsoever. So, you know, it's definitely encouraging, at least a little bit, to see them not totally rely on the air game. But like you said, there's still room for improvement. There's still room for growth, because while it was a decent enough performance from Rachaad White, there was also, you know, there's still, like we keep saying, some room for growth. But that's encouraging. I feel like that we expect him to play a little better as the season progresses. But speaking of, we're speaking mostly on the offensive side of the ball, and we'll move on to Baker Mayfield, because he had his, you know, his little scary moments there in the game. He threw the pick to the silly pass down the field to Godwin that got picked off. And then he had a play in the first quarter that really should have ended in an interception. It was a pass over the middle that just the Saints defender just dropped for whatever reason. So he obviously had his fair share of mistakes. It looked like he was pressing a little bit towards the beginning, but he also managed to calm down, settle down, gather himself, and make some really excellent plays. So what grade would you give his performance Sunday afternoon, Musab?
I'm going to go with just a solid B, just because, I mean, he was under fire, but, you know, he wasn't really panicking at all. He came through again with his mobility. I honestly think it's super helpful, especially on those kind of third down conversions as well. He's a game changer for me, honestly. I'm really happy with what I've seen from him. Obviously, am I going to say he's perfect? Of course not. And, you know, the interception was somewhat of a bummer, just because, fortunately, we did make up for it. But then again, I mean, it just sucks, just because, you know, you really just want to kind of run over them. But from what, you know, I've seen so far, I am honestly extremely satisfied with his performance, especially against a really good defensive team. You know, this is a team that we were talking about last week that wasn't allowing, you know, 20 or more points to their opponents. And, you know, here we are. So overall, I am very happy with what he's done for us. You know, he's a fighter. That's what I like about him, you know, the most.
He definitely gets the people going, as they say in Blades of Glory. It's a really fun thing to kind of watch him do his thing. You know, like you said, the third down conversions are always really huge. He always seems to use his legs in the big moments. And then, you know, he does his little, you know, let's go, you know, get all pumped up and everything. So that's always fun to watch. And yeah, I'm with you. I think a B is appropriate, maybe B minus. You know, they didn't win the game because of Baker Mayfield, but they also certainly, you know, he certainly didn't take away from them. You know, they wouldn't have lost the game because of him either. So it was a really just solid, you know, run of the mill game. And if Baker Mayfield plays like that every week, there aren't going to be very many games that the Bucs lose because their defense is playing really, really well. Just ridiculous. So shifting the focus to the defensive side of the ball, they've been really successful to start this year, but they've also played some pretty mediocre offenses. You know, the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, they can't seem to hold on to the football. The Bears, obviously, who the hell knows what's going on with them. And then the Saints this past week, they looked rough. So is this kind of performances, are these kind of performances that the defense is putting up, are they sustainable, or are you kind of bracing for a bit of a fall off in production as the season progresses?
I think it's sustainable, but we have yet to see how we do against, you know, solid teams, for example, like the Lions that will play after our bye week, just because what we've seen so far, at least with our opponents' offenses, is we weren't really able to do much against the Eagles and then the Bears, Vikings, and the Saints. I mean, the Saints also had a banged up quarterback, a depleted offensive line. So we really took advantage of that. We were super aggressive, but you know, I want to give a big shout out, first of all, to Antoine Winfield Jr. for just being everywhere. I think, you know, he was definitely a lot of people's player of the game. I'm sure he was your player of the game as well, just because he stood out. He really did. From the fumble, the sack, just the blocking that deep ball, he was everywhere. So, I mean, you know, when it comes to our DBs, I am somewhat, I guess, okay with what's happened so far. You know, we got guys that are banged up right now. But when it comes to the D-line, I am thinking I want to see a little bit more pressure. I mean, look, you know, we have a really dominant D-line, but it always seems like we might be like a step away from a sack or something. You know, JTS did ball out, I think it was, against the Bears. Mm-hmm. But I want to see a little bit more action. I want to see a little bit more kind of chaos from people like JTS and Logan Hall, you know. Maybe their role is what the Bucs want them to play. But it's, you know, kind of just that, you know, eating up the blockers and allowing that kind of blitz to get in. Maybe that's what it is. But I don't know. Where's your head at with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good point. The pass rush is something that I was a bit concerned about going into this season. But that interior is obviously so, so good, like Vita Vea and Greg Gaines. Yeah, it's just, it's a really good front, you know, front seven, really. I mean, it's definitely a bit of a disappointment that they don't seem to get a little bit more pressure on the quarterback. But at the same time, they did it pretty well against the Bears, and the Saints offensive line, as much as they've been maligned to start the year, everyone pretty rightfully so kind of takes a dump on the Saints offensive line because they've been really bad. So it is kind of a bit of a bummer that they didn't get a little bit more pressure on them, but at the same time, you know, Derek Carr loves, I mean, you saw it Sunday. He just loves the dump offs, the quick little check downs and everything like that, especially because, like you mentioned, he had the banged up shoulder.
Yeah, so I mean, that's all he could do.
Yeah, it seemed like he just didn't have enough confidence to push the ball down the field, go through his progressions and really try to, you know, go deep. Because he had a few throws where he tried to push it down the field and it looked bad. I mean, there was the one to Chris Olave where it was like Olave was wide open. I mean, it was a busted coverage or something like that. And Carr just underthrew him by about a mile. It was tough to watch. So speaking of Derek Carr, this is kind of shifting the focus to the Saints perspective, but kind of keeping in with the Bucs, just because, you know, we're talking about Jameis Winston, and obviously Jameis came in towards the end of the game and got his interception in. He said, no, not so fast. I still need to throw my interception, hit my quota. But with all of that being said, you know, the Derek Carr starting was kind of a surprise to all of us, I think. I think we were all expecting Jameis to start, and they kind of switched plans. Carr got the start, fought through this injury. He looked rough. So in my opinion, this might be a hot take. I still don't think the Saints wouldn't have won, but they might have been able to at least score a touchdown with Jameis under center, because they were very one-dimensional. They couldn't run the ball, but they also couldn't really push the ball down the field. So it was very hard for them to move at all against the Bucs. So do you think maybe the Saints would have been better off starting Jameis over Derek Carr?
I think so. And the reason why I'll say that is because I don't think we really saw what our DBs were capable of doing, or
right.
like a kind of true evaluation was what I would call it, just because of the way the Saints were approaching it, you know, yeah. the way Derek Carr was banged up and all that. Our DBs are not perfect, and, you know, they have their slips, and it just makes me think, you know, if you had a healthy quarterback like Jameis Winston, shout out for that interception, Jameis. We appreciate that. That was a little icing on the cake. But, yeah, you know, if, you know, he knows how to play, especially if he's healthy, you know, he can definitely chuck the ball down there for sure. I think those passes like to Olave, I think, would have, you know, come through for them big time had it actually worked out. You know, it just makes me think, yeah, they probably would have been, yeah, maybe they would be able to get a touchdown. I would think so. Right. It would definitely be a different game for sure, just because their approach with, you know, Derek Carr was, you know, I mean, he was just tossing a lot, just quick little passes. That was the only way to kind of get down the field. You know, those kind of deep passes were not working at all for them. And for that reason, I feel like, yeah, it definitely could have been a different game, just because it would have been a different game for our DBs as well.
Yeah, I mean, it would have given them something to do other than just watching Devin White or Lavonte David make, or Antoine Winfield Jr., whatever, make tackles on Alvin Kamara, or watch the – oh, my God, watching that fullback Adam Prentice get the ball like 3 or 4 or 5 times throughout the game was just kind of depressing. I mean, it was just like, dude, he had the fumble, he had the dropped pass. I mean, it was just a rough game for that guy. But, yeah, I mean, Alvin Kamara had his golden PPR game without actually doing anything, because he had – 13 catches for 33 yards. I mean, that's just not a good sign for an offense. If you're scat back, running, receiving back, whatever you want to call him, if your running back has 13 catches, he better have like 150 yards receiving. Otherwise, he's not doing too well, and your offense is not scoring a lot of points. So I'm with you. I think that maybe Jameis would have been maybe a little bit better, surprisingly. But again, both of our predictions were based on the Saints playing Jameis Winston, and we both had the Bucs winning. So it wouldn't have changed my opinion of what would have happened in the game. I just think it would have been maybe a little bit more competitive. But regardless, the Bucs won, and that's all that matters. So speaking of the Bucs winning, who's your player of the game? I know you mentioned Antoine Winfield Jr., and that's my player of the game. He was dominant. He just was all over the place. You know, he had a fumble recovery. He had a sack. I mean, he's that guy right now, one of the best safeties in football, without a doubt. So that's my player of the game. Who's your player of the game, Usai?
I mean, it's clear and obvious. I feel like it obviously should be Antoine Winfield Jr. for everyone who is watching. And I would say the same. But, you know, I just want to give a shout out to Devin Tompkins. Absolutely. Just because, to me, he's proving to be a drastic upgrade over someone like Jalen Darden, you know, both as a receiver and a returner. He stepped up big time for us. That diving touchdown, honestly, was really nice to see overall. Yeah. I like our young guns and what we got, you know, from Trey Palmer to Devin Tompkins and Rakeem Jarrett. So I'm going to go with Devin Tompkins just because I don't think anyone was expecting him to kind of perform like he did against the Saints.
Not at all. I count myself as one of those people. He's a gadget guy. You know, like you mentioned, he's a return guy, kind of a Jalen Darden do-over experiment, so to speak. And he's been really fun in those little gadget plays, you know, putting him in motion. They handed the ball off to him one time. And like you mentioned, touchdown catch. Oh, super fast, ridiculously quick, shifty as hell. And he's fun to watch, and it's really exciting to see the Bucs have that type of guy, because I can't tell you the last time they had a guy like that, because Evans and Godwin, amazing receivers, not trying to take away anything from them, but that's just not their game. Neither of them are, you know, going to blow you away with their quickness or shiftiness. You know, they're both very physical, and Godwin had a ridiculously good game too. I don't mean to shift any focus away from him. He had over 100 receiving yards, but it's Chris Godwin. That's kind of ho-hum for him. So I'm with you. Devin Tompkins has been a huge, huge pleasant surprise so far this season. And yeah, I'm really excited to see how they continue to just kind of implement him into the game plan. Canales is obviously doing some really creative things with the play calling, which has been a really nice development, especially compared to last season. But another
I got a feeling Baker is going to just land one nice deep ball to Devin Tompkins. And
yes.
I don't know who we're going to be playing, but my hot take is he's just going to leave him in the dust. So yeah, that's my one. If I could put a bet in right now, is Devin Tompkins over 40, 50 yards touchdown, just because you ain't stopping him once he gets that ball.
Oh, no, sir. He's leaving like you said, leaving everyone in the dust. He's a really exciting player to watch. And yeah, hopefully if he can kind of get through a blown coverage or something, yeah, that'd be really fun to see. But another thing that would be fun to see is to see our listeners copping some RBLR gear. That would be something really cool to see, because I know the Rays lost today and they're out of the playoffs now, and it's kind of depressing, but the Lightning season is about to start, and the Bucks are obviously, we're talking about it, they're 3-1. So if you're trying to, you know, show some support for the Bucks, or maybe you're even trying to, you know, get over the Rays loss because it was ugly, you know, Rays, Bucks, Lightning, and Rowdies, we got it all. Check it out at shop.rblrsports.com. I'll give you a promo code for you. That's Canon, CANNONS, for 10% off your order. Definitely check it out, especially if you're trying to solve your Rays depression with some retail therapy. I know that's
if you ain't gonna watch the Bucks, might as well go a little shopping online.
That's right. I know that's right. That's true. So yeah. Anyways, the Bucks have a bye week. It's week 5, and they already have a bye week. It's kind of weird, but you know, it's a bye week, so Sunday there's not any Bucks game on. I mean, I'm still probably maybe going to watch a little bit of football, but Musab, what are you going to do this weekend now that the Bucks aren't playing?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I'll still be watching some football, probably run some errands as well, but most likely, and I'll definitely be sweating it out on fantasy, because boy, do I need to step it up right now. I mean, I'm just not looking good in all my leagues right now. One of them I'm doing absolutely horrible, and you know, as you know, there's usually fantasy punishments in a lot of leagues. My league's punishment is you got to spend like 24 hours or something in an IHOP. That's a popular punishment.
Right.
I'm trying not to think, you know, too hard about it, just because I don't think I'm going to lose. But then again, I might have to start prepping, you know, as the season goes on. And if I'm still looking really bad, I'm not that kind of guy that does really well on fantasy. Never have. Actually, one time I did go pretty far, but that was kind of a random crappy league with a bunch of just scrubs, I guess is what you'll call it. But yeah, what about you though, man?
Well, I'm like the rest of America, I'm going to be worrying about my fantasy football league as well. You know, all of them, all 5 of them, I've got 5 teams in there, all kind of meddling along. They're all about 500, so you know, kind of what you'd expect. But I'm actually headed to Key West on Friday. Gonna take a trip. We're gonna spend the next week in Key West and just kind of hang out. My parents and, or my aunt and uncle have a timeshare in Key West, and my parents wanted us all to go down and just kind of hang out with them. So we're gonna have a great week, just hanging out. It lined up perfectly because now week 5, you know, the bye week, I don't have to watch any football on Sunday. If I want to watch something on the TV or whatever, I can, but I'll just be hanging out by the pool, you know, mostly just trying to relax, you know, just having a good time. So I'm excited for sure. But yeah, that's kind of my plans for the weekend.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. It should be a good time. But moving on to some more football related topics, big picture, we're obviously a Bucks show, but you know, they're in the NFC South, and the NFC South looked ugly this past weekend. The Falcons got dominated by the Jaguars. The Panthers lost to the Vikings. I mean, it was an ugly weekend for sure. And I just wanted to, you know, give me something on the NFC South as a division other than the Bucks, because man, it looked rough this weekend.
Yeah, Carter, it's going to continue looking rough for a lot of those NFC South teams, even though there's only 4, so I don't know why I want to say a lot, but the Saints, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to, we're going to have to see what goes on with the whole Derek Carr injury and all that. I mean, you know, they're not perfect. They're probably the closest kind of matchup to us, if you even want to call them a matchup at this point. I really do look forward to, our next game with them, just to see, how it actually goes if Derek Carr is healthy and, they kind of change up their strategy or whatever. But I'll tell you this, the Falcons and the Panthers, they better start planning, their future and, their draft picks they want to get in 2024. Because when it comes to the Falcons, outside of Bijan, I don't think they have a consistent passing attack at all. I think Ridder is awful. We keep saying step forward with our Buccaneers, week by week. And the way I see it is it's a step backwards for them because it seems like they were doing kind of better with Marcus Mariota. So I'm wondering, what the Falcons ought to do with Desmond Ridder. I was actually looking at, I don't know how I ran into this stat or something. I think I was scrolling through some random NFC South posts, these random Buck accounts, and there was a random Falcon account. And I was saying, the current Atlanta Falcons, receiving yards leader is Jonnu Smith, who is their second string tight end.
Yeah.
So that ought to tell you how the Falcons are looking. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe you think differently about the Atlanta Falcons. Where's your head at?
I mean, the Panthers aren't even really worth discussing just because, man.
Oh, it's God, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad because, offensively – they have Bryce Young, and then he's got no one to throw to.
They're wasting his talent, man.
They really are. And the offensive line looks bad. And that was supposed to be a strength of theirs, which is – it's tough to see. They've taken a pretty big step back because they looked somewhat competitive at times last year. And you thought, oh, well, throwing Bryce Young into the mix, that's going to be fantastic. But they really miss DJ Moore because they don't have any playmakers on the outside whatsoever. And then the Falcons, I mean, good. I'm a Kyle Pitts fantasy owner in one of my leagues, unfortunately.
Oh, so am I.
It's horrible.
I'm embarrassing, man.
Yeah, I'm on the verge of dropping them. I mean, it's just the Falcons have spent – 3 straight years of first-round picks on skill position players. And Bijan has been fantastic, and he's a really great player. But my goodness, Drake London and Kyle Pitts just look kind of lost out there. They don't look great. Whether it's their fault, whether it's Desmond Ridder's fault, some people blame the offensive line, whatever the case may be, they're not getting it done. Clearly, the formula is not working. Good teams are built from the front back, and the Falcons have not done that at all. It's hard to see a team with some talent. I mean, every NFL team is going to have a little bit of talent unless it's the Chicago Bears, I guess, or the Arizona Cardinals, maybe. But every team's going to have – but even the Cardinals beat the Cowboys. But anyways, every team has a little bit of talent, and it's hard to see that talent get wasted on bad teams. And as for the Saints, I mean, they're banged up. Derek Carr's got that shoulder thing like we've been talking about. So we'll see how they move going forward. They're definitely going to have to change something on the offensive side of the ball because they looked bad against the Packers too the previous week. Derek Carr got hurt. I get it, but it's been tough sledding for them offensively, and they're kind of squandering a really good defense. So I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see moving forward, but I just thought it was really interesting to kind of take a bigger view at the NFC South and, just kind of share our thoughts on it. But moving on, is there any – moving more towards the Bucs side of the ball or side of the things, whatever you want to call it, is there any area that you think the Bucs really – what's the biggest weakness for the Bucs moving forward? Because a team that's 3-1 doesn't necessarily have any weaknesses or very many weaknesses, but it's only been 4 games. So there's still stuff for them to work on. So what's kind of the biggest thing moving forward that you'd like to see the Bucs improve?
Probably just the kind of whole offensive line, but as well as kind of working together with the kind of run game as well.
For sure.
Just because I'm thinking, hey, listen, we're doing fine right now, but if we want to have a decent season, we're going to have to work on that run game for sure, creating opportunities for our running backs, even creating opportunities for Baker Mayfield. Now, what I've seen so far is pretty decent. I think we're improving definitely week by week. Again, I want to give a shout out to Luke Adeke. Absolutely locking up Cam Jordan. I forgot what play it was, but I mean, he just wasn't able. Cam Jordan wasn't able to get a Baker at all. I think that's what really gave Baker that time to get to Devin Tompkins for that diving touchdown. So I think we are improving, but I mean, we're not perfect, and we got ate up by the Eagles, which is really scary. But then again, thinking if they are the Super Bowl contenders, then maybe I might kind of give the Buccaneers a little bit of a break. But other than that, I would probably just say, you know, what we're doing with our D-line. I just want to see a little bit more aggression, a little bit more kind of, you know, getting to the quarterback. I don't want to say there's anything super specific that we're just absolutely horrible at. I will say that it could get ugly for our DBs, Carter, just because we haven't seen too much against an actual good team other than the Eagles, and we got cooked. And, you know, with the Saints, as we were already talking about earlier, it was kind of a different approach just because of a banged up car. So what we need to work on or slash focus on are those three things, you know, the O-line working with the run game, D-line staying aggressive, and then just, you know, fingers crossed our DBs stay healthy and, you know, people like Zion McCollum step up to the plate when we need him, as well as D Delaney, who, hey, listen, you know, we used to kind of, we used to chuckle about him a little bit, you know, here and there, but you know what, man, I'm going to put a little bit of respect on his name now.
Indeed. Yeah. I got to give it to him. Cause we have a fantasy league in the podcast and my team name is D Delaney Breakout Season. So I'm going to take some credit for D Delaney improving so much this season. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, we, all jokes aside, we've kind of given a hard time to the Bucs about their secondary lacking depth and the fact that D Delaney's out there. But, you know, he's proven to be at least adequate, and that's all you can really ask for. But yeah, I'm with you. The secondary hasn't yet really been tested other than, you know, the Eagles and then Justin Jefferson. And obviously, both of those group, Justin Jefferson had an amazing game and the Eagles had an amazing game. So I don't know. That's going to be a tough thing moving forward for sure. And the pass rush, we've been talking about it a lot. I love that you brought that up. And I think the offensive line is definitely its interior. You know, it's the center guard positions. Because Tristan Wirfs is the highest graded tackle in football right now. And he's making that transition over to left tackle. And Luke Gedecky's holding it down over there. I mean, shout out to him because he was – I don't want to say he was to blame for all of the Bucs' offensive line problems last season, but good gracious, he got benched. He looked ugly at the left guard position. And now, I mean, he's probably the second best offensive lineman they've got.
Yeah.
And that's not even necessarily meant to sound negative. It's just, you know, he's actually been pretty good. So yeah, Cody Mauch and definitely Robert Hainsey. It's tough to see the young guys struggle. And yeah, moving forward, if they can figure something out, it's got to get better, because otherwise the running game is going to continue to struggle and maybe even get worse, just because Rashad White takes the majority of the carries. Chase Edmonds is hurt, unfortunately, and you know, the tread's going to come. He's going to get tired as the season goes along, so especially if the offensive line can't do anything to help him out.
And Carter, what was the whole thing with like Sean Tucker not really getting anything going on there on the field?
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Figure that out as well.
Right, yeah, because Keyshawn Vaughn was kind of thought of as kind of just in case everyone gets hurt kind of thing, you know, a real insurance policy. And he was brought out there, and he didn't really do much. But shoot, I mean, you know, it's tough behind that offensive line to do anything. So, yeah, I don't know. It was very strange to see Tucker get so little play. I will say he struggled to start the year. Like, he has looked like an undrafted free agent. Fortunately, so I don't know what to make of it. It's just the lack.
Who knows? Maybe Vaughn was just throwing like a really, really bad tantrum or something. Bowles was like, you know what, fine, get in there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, shoot. You know, it's a tough thing. Yeah. I don't know. That's certainly an interesting theory. We'll see if that continues to play out, if he continues to throw a little tantrum every week and get snaps. But regardless, you know, it was nice to see him have a little bit of production. But moving on, we've got a quarter of the season down. I know we were talking about the fact that the bye weeks come so early. So who's your MVP for the first quarter of the season? I know it's not exactly a quarter of the season that they play 17 games, but if you had to give an MVP award to any Buccaneer player right now, who would it be?
I'm going to have to go Baker Mayfield, just because I don't think anyone – well, you know, I'll take that back. Enough about everyone. I don't think – I wasn't expecting Carter, him to really ball out as much as he has, okay? Just the way he has performed with our team. I never really watched him too much in the past. I mean, I knew of him, and, you know, he had his moments to shine with the Browns as well. You know, he's performed really well in the past, so it wasn't like he was kind of a hidden gem or something. It seems to me that this gem was found and then tossed away in like a junk pile or something. And then Coach Bowles and the rest of this front office scooped up that gem, cleaned it up, and here we are. You know what I'm saying? So chemistry is getting better and better week by week, Carter. I've mentioned so many times in the past, I honestly just – I love his kind of, you know, bulldog mentality, his mobility, his kind of just – you know, he literally looks like a leader to me. You know what I'm saying? Is he perfect? Is he Patrick Mahomes? Of course not. All right. But what I've seen so far in these four games, the way he's performed, I really do think that he's just going to get better and better. Now, a little bit of kind of something to think about is we played three crappy teams and one being the Eagles or not being the crappy being Eagles. And then one team, which was really good. And, you know, he struggled. You know what I'm saying? So as of right now, he is my MVP just because I really haven't seen anyone else really kind of ball out other than Antoine Winfield Jr. But I don't know. There's just something to me that I really want to give Baker Mayfield the recognition he deserves. What about you, man?
Absolutely. Baker Mayfield's definitely a very valid MVP of the first quarter of the season. But I got to give mine to Antoine Winfield Jr. just because the guy's just been – oh, man, he's been all over the place. I mean, the statistics don't even really do it justice, even though he's got some good numbers for the safety position. You know, he's just been really fantastic and just kind of an anchoring presence on that secondary, especially because, you know, Carlton Davis was out against the Eagles, and I know they didn't perform super well against the Eagles, but this past week, Jamel Dean was out. You know, it's been kind of, you know, you got to deal with Zion McCollum and Dee Delaney again – who have played fine, but they're not exactly, you know, they're not Pro Bowl cornerbacks. They're not guys that are going to be amazing out there. So I think Antoine Winfield Jr. has also been a very stabilizing force on that back end of the secondary. So that's been really exciting to see just because I know that it's a contract year for him. And I know that he's in the back of his mind, he's about to get paid because he deserves it. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough for the Bucs to keep him, but it's still really exciting to see him play as well as he has been. And yeah,
it's nice to have someone reliable for sure on the defensive end, especially in that kind of DB unit for sure. So I'm right there with you, Carter. But at least for me, sure, we can give it a kind of MVP. But I think, you know, this last game against the Saints was kind of me kind of sitting back and saying, you know what, I'm comfortable with Baker.
Right. Yeah. No, I feel you. I mean, Baker's definitely, you know, we're splitting hairs by arguing about who the MVP is, if it's Winfield or if it's Baker. They've both been fantastic. Yeah. So I'm certainly not trying to take anything away from Baker or Antoine Winfield Jr. They've both been really, really good. And especially, you know, like you said, Baker's been very calming. I mean, they've both been leaders on this team, I think. And I think that's something that's super duper valuable for a team that is going through a lot of changes this season. And, you know, they're still winning football games regardless. So it's been really impressive. But with all of that being said, they're 3-1. And I got to be honest, I did not see this coming. I didn't see them this successful. I want to talk about a grade for the first 4 weeks of the season. If you had to give the Bucs a grade, I'd give them an A. I mean, it's been really fantastic to see. But how about you, Musa? Maybe you're a little bit A minus or B plus or maybe lower. But for me, it's an A for sure.
I'm going to be minus. I am happy with what I've seen, but it was a little bit embarrassing against the Eagles, which is kind of why I give them that B minus. And, you know, well, not perfect. We have a lot of things to work on. For example, like we've already mentioned, like the O-line, of course, and our rather very mediocre run game. So that's why I kind of want to be a little bit hard on them. But, yeah, I'm going B minus just because I am overall happy with what I've seen. But there is something still telling me, Carter, you know, I've mentioned it already so many times in this podcast, is just that, you know, we've played crappy teams, you know, two just normal crappy, one banged up Saints, and then the Eagles, which we lost. So there's only so much to make of it. I think that's what makes it so hard for me to, you know, really dive deep into it. But I'll just leave it at that, B minus.
All right. Hey, B minus, fair enough. My only counter to that is just that, you know, I always want to be careful about, you know, blaming a team for beating up on bad teams, or like taking that as a sign of them. Well, they just played the Bears. They just played the Vikings. They just played
a Bengals team. That is
true. And which that's very valid, completely valid. I'm not going to sit here. Oh, well, they're 3-1 and so is Kansas City. So they're on the same playing field. You know, that's not what I'm saying either, but I think it's also kind of a delicate balance to make sure that you still give a team credit for winning the games that they're supposed to win. You know, they could have just as easily gone out there and lost to the Vikings and Bears.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things where I definitely see where you're coming from. But at the same time, you look at their remaining schedule and they kind of play quite a few more teams like the Vikings and the Bears. I mean, the Texans have been playing incredibly well. I think they've exceeded a lot of expectations, but they're not expected to be a super tough team. The Falcons, we've talked about them. The Titans, who knows what to make of them.
Right.
The Panthers, obviously, they get to play a couple of times. Ditto that with the Falcons. They get to play the Colts. They get to play the Saints again. So I guess my ultimate point is that, you know, they've got a lot of winnable games against, like we've said, crappy teams. So yeah. I think that if they just continue to win crap against the crappy teams, they can lose against the good teams because they've only got like 3 or 4 of those games left. So I don't know. It's a very interesting and a very delicate balance to watch because I think my expectations of this team were much lower than they've played. And I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, Musa, but I kind of expect them to lose a lot of games against the crappy teams. So I've been very, very, very impressed with how they've played. So that's kind of my reasoning for the A.
No, man. Now that I think about it, man, you have a point, Carter, for sure. But what I will say is, hey, in the past, we've lost to crappy teams. You know, later on in the season, we've beat better teams, and then we've lost to crappy teams. So
that's the NFL, baby. Yep.
Yeah. I guess I'll just leave it at that is, you know, you have a point. But I don't know. I just don't think that I would give them an A just because we're not really kind of running over these opponents either. And we're not just all sunshine and rainbows minus the Eagles game. You know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. And I think we have a lot to work on. But overall, I will, you know, just to make you happy, fine, I'll give them a solid B.
No. You stick with the B minus. That's your grade for them. And like I said, I understand it. I think that they're an above average team right now.
Oh, for sure.
And speaking of, they released these power rankings recently and they had the Bucks at 10, which I'm not saying I'm surprised or disagree with, or I'd love to hear your take on it. I don't know. I did not see the Bucks as a top 10 team going into this season at all. And a lot of those same power rankings had them at 27 before the season, or around that area. So I don't know. What did you think about that? The ranked 10th in the NFL. I thought that was a bit high, but at the same time, I thought about it and I was like, well, shoot, they're 3-1. They should be the 10th best team in the NFL.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, they're 3-1. They ought to be, you know, top 10. But those rankings will change for sure. I think not just for our team, but for a lot of teams as well. So I try not to think too much about those rankings for just because everyone also has a different schedule and 100%. Things happen as well. You know, sometimes teams are kind of crappy in the beginning, and then, you know, their guys are all healed up and they start balling out, or some team just the other way. You know, they're looking good in the beginning and then they just crap the bed, you know, in the second half of the season. So, but makes sense to me. Hey, 3-1, top 10, I'm with it.
Yeah, I'm with it as well. I mean, it's a weird season this year. The NFC seems to be the 49ers and the Eagles and maybe the Cowboys, and then there's a big drop off. So yeah, I don't know. It's a weird football season, and it's going to be fun to watch going forward, and I'm really excited for it. So kind of taking a big – I want to hit you with another kind of over-under kind of thing, but this is very long-term since it's the bye week. Over and under 8.5 wins for the Bucks for the season. You go in – you hitting the over, you think they hit 9, or are you going the under?
Ooh, I'm going over.
Ooh, over 8.5.
I'm going over. I'm going all over right. For sure. Yeah.
All right. I dig it. I'm going to go over as well. I don't think they're going to hit it by a lot. I think they might go at 9 or 10, but I think they'll hit it. And I think that exceeds my expectations by a lot of this team at the beginning of the year. So yeah, that's kind of our call. That's kind of our prediction to wrap up the show. Cause usually we predict the games in the regular season, but since it's a bye week, I figured we'd throw something fun in here. But as I said, we're coming to the end of the show. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. We'll have Zach hopefully back next week, the Zach Attack, so he can tell us all about how great Baker Mayfield is and how they need to cut Rachaad White and all that nonsense. So we'll have him back next week. But for now, we really appreciate y'all for listening. Definitely hit that like and subscribe button if you enjoyed what you heard. Give us a follow at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook. You know, we've got all kinds of stuff there, all kind of Tampa Bay related content there. So definitely check us out. And like I said, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. As always,
go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.